Well, last week, I thought I was done. I thought I was done with the message. I already had my mind on something else that I wanted to preach on today. And then, you know, and then God stopped me and said, I've got something else to say. You know, how many of you know that this is not a good idea when you tell God, you know, I've got a different idea. And then he's like, no, I've got something else to say. And cutting him off is not a good idea. It doesn't always work very well for people to actually cut God off, especially when he has more to say. And so this morning, here we are, and God has the mic, and I'm just here just to deliver what he wants me to deliver this morning. So 1 John, that's where we started last week, and we're going to start right there, but I'm going to shift a little bit to that portion of the scripture, 1 John 1:7. And right on your app, you can pull that up and we can follow along as well. So it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay? So last week, this is kind of like how God said, I have more to say. This is how it came about. I'm preparing the reel. How many of you are following the reel that I post? Thank God to technology, now I'm able to actually do this. Please like and share it so that others can actually hear the message as well. That's a good way to tell people of what God is doing at Oceans, and a good marketing tool. And certainly a great witnessing tool for what God is doing here in Kodiak and certainly in Oceans Church. And I was preparing this reel, and one of those reels that I was preparing, and I heard this in my spirit. His light is not a microscope to magnify our sin. Let that sink in for a moment. His light is not a microscope to magnify our sin, but his light is a spotlight for the blood that cleanses us from all sin. What a big difference, right? His light is not this microscope that looks at every single thing that you've done that is wrong, that is wretched in your life. But his light doesn't even shine on what you've done. His light is always shining on what his son has done for you and me. His light is always the spotlight on his blood, that only the blood has the power to cleanse us from all sin. So that's the focus of the message this morning, because so many people, they believe that. They believe that the light of God is this microscope that is there to show their sin, to show their sinful nature, and to kind of bring guilt and shame to their life. That's not God. That's not God. God doesn't do that. I believe that's what the enemy does. The enemy will always bring your past, what you've done that is wrong in your past, will always bring the spotlight on it, so that all you can focus is on what you've done that is wrong, and you cannot set your eyes on what God has already done for you on the cross. That's a ploy, that's a scheme of the enemy. And the scheme of the enemy is to bring that guilt and shame, but also to cause you to go and hide from that light, that light can actually set you free. The enemy always wants you and I to be in bondage of the past, to always have this shadow that is like an overcast, like a cloud that is bringing this overcast over your life, keeping you away from the light that shines from above. Not just from above, but also from above, and then also from within. The light of Christ that is from above is also in us. This belief that the light of God is just to bring guilt and shame is so far from the truth. so far from the truth that we know in the Word of God. It's so far from His unconditional love. What kind of God would it be if all He can do is to show you a condition for Him giving you His love? If you do this, I will love you. If you obey me in this way, in that way, I will love you. God loves you no matter what. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, right? He died for us. God sent His Son, not when we were at our best. God sent His Son when we were at our worst. And that is the power of the gospel of Christ, is because we were at our worst that Christ was sent to save us from the guilt, the shame, and the power of sin over our lives. It's unconditional love. It's unmerited grace. There is nothing that you and I, we can do to merit, to earn the grace of God. And if we believe that His light is to magnify our sin, and that is definitely so far from the truth that draws us to that light, that draws us to that light and exposes what the blood of Christ can do for you and I. So instead of running to God, guess what we have a tendency to do, is to run away from Him, right? Because we think that we are never good enough. So we go and we hide. And when we hide, we're hiding from God. And we're also hiding from the promise that Jesus has given to you and I in Matthew 5. When Jesus Himself said that you are the light of the world. In Matthew 5, we read this. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." See, why go in hiding when God has given you this light that is within you so that you can be brought up like a city that is set on a hill? And then he goes on. He says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So our focus today is how. How do we fulfill that promise that we now read in Matthew chapter 5? You are the light of the world. See, that's a big ask when we read it. When Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," we receive that. But now Jesus flipped the switch and says, "You are the light of the world." So how do we fulfill Matthew chapter 5? So that's the focus. That's what God said, "I'm not done yet. I want my church to know this. I don't want them to just know the promise that you are the light of the world and don't have the practical tools to apply in their life so that they can actually walk in such a way that they represent this light that is in us." See, we can talk about the light that is above, but what about the light that is within? What about the light that is within each and every one of us once we've received that main light, the light of Christ, the light of God? It's not just up there, but it's also from within down here in everyday life. The way we conduct ourselves, the way we run our business, the way we speak, the way we act, the way we deal with our emotion, all of these, they have an impact on how we represent this light that is above, but also from within. So number one is this: recognize the new you. I don't know if you know this, but there's a new version of you. There's an update that was done. There was an update that was done, and that update was done 2,000 some years ago. But when we embrace that light, we say yes to that upgrade. We say yes, install, right? Isn't that what we do when we get something new, you know, on our phone and everything else? We like, you know what, I need that update. If I don't get that update, I won't get all the features that goes along with that update. I'll be left behind. How many of you are like that when you look at your phone and like, man, iOS 17.1.3 is out there. I got to make sure I've got it, because if I don't have it, I will not be able to run this today. So you have to be able to relate to the updates that God has already made available to you and I. And it starts with you recognizing the new you, the new version of you, through his new light that is shining through you. So if you want his light, you have to recognize the new you. You have to recognize the new you. In Galatians 2:20. See, we talk about technology, but God is already there. God's already given us the word that says, my old self, that old version of yourself, has been crucified with Christ. That old version of yourself has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I just love the way this reads. It's so easy. It's so simple. Your old self is dead. That is basically what he's saying. The old version of you, the old version of Shannon, is dead. Now, I have to recognize that. If I want to embrace this new upgrade that is out there, this new version of me that is out there, that is only exposed through the light of Christ, if I want to install that new upgrade, I've got to recognize this, that my old self is dead. And my new self has been made alive in Christ because he lives in me. I mean, this is just an invitation to embrace that light. Not just a light that is shining from above, but here it's an invitation to embrace that light that is in us. We celebrate Christ crucified and risen. That's why we can embrace that light that is inside of us because of Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In order to embrace and recognize this new self, we must reconcile this truth. The old me is no more. The old me is no more. It's something that I need to remind myself daily. I don't know about you, but every time when I wake up, I'm like, you know what? This old self, this old version of me is no more. I have a new install in my life. I have a new version in me in my life. And today is the day that I will celebrate that. How about starting your day with this? I'm a new person. That old self from last night is over. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Because you know that old self will always speak. That old self will always want to have a spotlight in your life. And the enemy has a great way of reminding you of your old self. Always bringing that spotlight on your past so that you can go back to that past. But God, the light of God, is always shining forward so that you can embrace this new life that can be found only in him. The enemy has great ways to create opportunities for you to go back, right? How many times do you think about, oh, you know what? That was my old self, but maybe that was fine back then, but no more, because my old self is dead. Maybe that old self used to cuss and be mean and get mad. You got to remind that old self that you're dead. You're dead. You are no more in my life. And you need to be able to celebrate that death. I don't know what you need to do. Have a party. Bring some balloons and fireworks or whatever you need to do to demonstrate that, hey, you know what? That old self is dead. I'm no longer the same person. I've been changed. I've been redeemed. I'm under the blood of Christ. It is that light that is not shining a light onto my sin, my past, but this light of God is like a spotlight shining on the blood of Christ that sets me free. That's worth celebrating. That's something that we can talk about. That's something that we can write about. That's something that we can use as a tool to witness to the world. And that's why Christ said that you are the light of the world. I've done my job. I've completed my task on the cross. But now it's up to you to shine that light that is within you for the world to see what I've accomplished in you, through you. See, our life needs to always point to the cross, to the redeeming love, the unconditional love of God on that cross. Because when he laid down his life, he laid down his life for you and me at the moments when we were at our worst. He saw us in our filth and he said, I'm going to die for this world so that this world will know my power. That this light will shine in them and through them. It's worth celebrating. It's worth celebrating that sin and death no longer has a grip on us. We are no longer slave to this sin according to Romans 6. It says, we know that our old sinful self were crucified with Christ. That sin might lose its power in our lives. See, sin no longer has power over us. Now, the enemy wants to bring it back and say, you know what? Your past has the power to hold you, to keep you entangled in bondage, in prison. But here it's saying, you've been set free. It no longer has the power to hold you. And it says, we are no longer slaves to sin. Now, that's freedom. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ. See, we've embraced that death in Christ. We've embraced that death because we have died with Christ. And we were set free from the power of sin. See, when we celebrate the fact that sin no longer has any power, no longer has any authority over you and me. No longer. He has no power to control us anymore because of what Christ has done for us, crucified, so that sin might lose its power, its grip over our lives. When we read this scripture right here, we can celebrate the fact that we are no longer slave to sin. We celebrate the fact that we can be in freedom and we can stand tall and proud. Tall and proud, right with God. See, that's a lot of time we struggle with that kind of concept. How can me, an imperfect person, be right with God? Have you thought about this? How can I call myself, according to the word of God, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus when I'm imperfect? When I mess up? When I don't always act right? When I don't always say the right thing? How can I be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? 2 Corinthians 5:21. He says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. See, Christ became that sacrifice once and for all. He's not going back to the cross for you and me. He made that sacrifice once and for all, so that we can be made right with Christ. It has nothing to do with our good works. It has nothing to do with our good behavior. It has everything to do with what Christ has done for us on the cross. See, the enemy wants to confuse the issue about this because the enemy wants to make it about you, about me, about our performance here on earth so that we can receive this right standing with God. We don't have to work to receive it. It was already given to us at the cross, already paid for by the blood of Christ. It is through Christ that we are made right with God. In the King James Version, you can read it this way. It says, you have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, in Him. You are not righteous because of your good works, but because Jesus died on the cross for you. What did Jesus say when he died on the cross? What was His last words? It is finished. It is finished. It is paid in full. And guess what? Your righteousness was paid in full. Paid in full. You don't have to show up with a payment for your righteousness. You don't have to say, you know what, I've missed a payment on my righteousness. It was paid in full when Jesus died on the cross. And then when He said those words, it is finished. It is finished. Paid in full. And after the cross, Jesus sat at the right hand of the Father. He sat because the work was done. Isn't that what we do when we accomplish something? When we finish our work, what do? We rest. So Jesus rested after His work was completed. So today we stand in His righteousness because Jesus took a seat at the right hand of the Father. So today we can stand tall and proud because Jesus took a seat at the right hand of the Father. And this leads me to my next point, talking about being seated, talking about resting in a place where He belongs. He has authority, a place where He has power, a place where He can speak. That's the place that Christ wants to occupy in your life. A place of authority. A place when He speaks, when He says something, He knows that you will listen. He knows that I will respond to it because He has the authority in my life. If you want to be His light, you have to keep Him on the throne of your life. If you want to be this representation of Christ, you got to make sure that He's sitting on that throne of your life when He's occupying that throne and He's speaking from a place and a position of authority over your life. If God doesn't say it, I'm not going to do it. Does God have that place of power and authority in your life? I think this is a valid question to ask this morning. It's a valid question to ask, does God sit on the throne of your life? I mean, it's easy to understand that God sits on the throne of the universe, right? We can understand that. Yeah, He controls everything. He sits way up high on the throne up there at the right hand of the Father. We understand that as Christians. We understand that as believers. It's easy for us to digest this truth. Does He sit at the right hand of the Father? Absolutely, the Word said so. But the question is, does He sit on your throne of your heart? Does He sit on the throne of your life? That's a good question. That is something that we need to be able to evaluate on a daily basis. Here in Revelations 21:5, it says, "And he, the one sitting on the throne, said," see, God speaks from that place of authority, if you would allow him. He says, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." See, sitting on the throne of your life, God is saying, "Look, I am making everything new." Meaning I'm separating you from your past. And from this moment on, I am making everything in your life new. Not just one thing, right? Not just this one thing that you struggle with, but everything I'm making new. Then he said this thing, write this down. Write this down. Listening to God is one thing, right? We can listen to God and we can listen to a message. We can listen, but there is something else when you listen and you take what you've heard and you write it down. That's why you have an app. Right? You have an app so that way you can write it down. You can take a note of whatever God might be saying. I might be saying one thing, but the Holy Spirit is using what I'm saying, but connecting the dots in your life. God does that a lot when I'm shopping. God does that a lot when I'm driving. God does that a lot when I'm doing other things. God will speak a word, drop a word. I'm like, okay, I got to write this down. A lot of times if I'm driving, I've got my phone and I'm speaking into it. Right, you do, right? You know, take a little audio note and you're able to actually, there's so many apps that are out there where you can do this. You can voice memo and be able to record whatever God is laying on your heart. You don't have, you can't be driving and writing at the same time, right? Or texting at the same time. At least you shouldn't. Everybody say, no, I don't do that. I don't drive and text. But you can certainly speak. You can talk and be able to write and to be able to say what God is putting on your heart. When you do that, guess what you can do? You can go back to it. See, when God is saying write it down, is because he wants you to go back to it. He might not be a revelation right there and then, but a day from now, a month from now, a year from now, guess what? It's like, oh, I remember that. I remember this situation, and I remember driving down the road, and I remember what God said. You know how many times I go back in my journal and I'm looking at what God said last year or the year before or even yesterday. I'm like, oh, you know what? That makes sense. It did not make any sense at the moment when I got the word, but now that I'm in this situation or I'm facing this difficult situation, I can trust that word because God said it. And I can go back to the timing of when God said it. And it makes sense all of a sudden. It's like, oop, got it. I know why God said what he said. God wants you to write it down because he wants you to always remember what he's saying. So he's saying here, what I say about you is true. And what I say about you is trustworthy. See, people can speak all kinds of nonsense, right? But what God says about you is true and it is trustworthy. Now, this is something worth writing down, right? If God is saying something about Shannon, whatever it might be, but if it is coming from him, I better be writing it down somewhere. Because at the appointed time, it will make sense. Isn't that what it says in the Word of God? In Habakkuk 2:3 says, write the vision down. Make it plain so that he who runs may read it. So there might be a time when you're on the run and you're about doing your own business, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a situation where you need a word. Guess what? That word that you wrote down will make sense. So God is saying, write it down. You need to know what I'm saying about you because it's true and it is trustworthy. In Jeremiah 1:5 is something that God says about you and me that is true. And that is also trustworthy. He says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appoint you as my prophet. Maybe that's something worth writing down for at least one of you this morning. That you're here not by accident, that you're not a mistake, but God himself, the one who sits on the throne of the entire universe, the one who spoke and created everything that we know, that one created you as well. That is worth writing down. Maybe somebody said to you that you are a mistake, that you were never meant to be here. But here you are. Here you are today. And God is reminding you of this. He says, I knew you before I form you. This is God saying, I did not make a mistake when I made you. I knew you even before I formed you, I knew you. Now, maybe this is worth writing down, that you are not a mistake, but you are a masterpiece. Not a mistake, but a masterpiece. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are God's masterpiece. Now, this is something that is true, and this is something that is trustworthy, something worth writing down. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Here's that upgrade. He has created new in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things that he planned for us long ago. See, God already had this plan for you and me long time ago, before you were formed in your mother's womb. And this plan that is true and trustworthy is also purposeful, that will give you purpose, right? And that will give you a destiny, because he has a plan for you and me. He has a plan that is true, that is trustworthy, and he calls you this masterpiece. It means that in his great plan, you and me, we play a key role. We're not this B-grade actors that are there that are, you know, I think we're going to call that guy there. You know what? Okay, you need a role? Okay, come on along. No, you play a major role in God's plan. He calls you the masterpiece, right? So you play a key role in his big plan, in his big purpose. And the thing is that it's not just for you. See, we think sometimes that, you know, it's all about us, but your role is connected with somebody else's role, somebody else's life. It is not just you. You might be thinking, well, I'm here on an island for a few more years and then I'm going to check out and be gone somewhere else. But guess what? You're connected here. There's a reason, there's a purpose for you being here. And when you discover that purpose, you fit into the master's plan. That's when you can call yourself a masterpiece, because you fit into the master's plan. A key piece for the master. A key piece for the master, so that he can use you where he's called you. See, you don't have to be somebody else. You don't have to be another person's piece of the puzzle. You can be your own. You can be your own version, the version that he created you to be. You don't have to look around and say, oh, you know what? I like that version. How come he's got so many abilities in this way and I don't? But whatever you have in your version is good enough for the master. And when you submit and when you surrender to his plan, you'll find your purpose. You'll discover that destiny that he has for you even before the world began. He called you his masterpiece because he has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Now that's worth writing down, right? Because it's true and it's trustworthy that he has a plan for your life that is good. And because he's good, he's already made a way for you to have a future. He's seeing ahead. This is what God is saying. I've saw ahead. And I've made a way for you to have a life that is good and not for disaster, that will give you a future and hope. See, your life doesn't have to be hopeless because you are in Christ and Christ lives in you, within you. This is why you can walk in that light. You can walk in that light and letting that light that is within you shine forward. That's part of his plan. It always has and always will be. And the last point is this. Walk to the tune of his voice. Walk to the tune of his voice, which means that on this journey called life, you have to be listening. You have to be listening to what God is saying. You got to be in tune with the rhythm of the way that he operates. See, a lot of time God does, he's not speaking in those loud voices or word. It's something that you feel on the inside. It's not this audible voice that you're hearing day after day. Sometimes God speaks like that. But most of the time, God is speaking through circumstances, through situation that you and I, we find ourselves in, and you're like, I just have this sense, this peace, that God is trying to tell me something through this. Have you ever been in a situation where you haven't really heard the voice of God, but the situation itself that you're in is holy? It might be challenging, but you're like, you know what? I can sense God in this. And you find yourself attracted to this, perhaps, a very difficult situation. But because you know that God is with you, you can walk through that difficult situation. Knowing that along the way, you're hearing his voice. That voice that is calming you, that is calming the storm. The voice that is parting sea for you as you're walking through this situation, you know that God is present. Walk to the tune of his voice. That's how you represent him to the world. That's how you are the light of the world. Because the world is watching. To what tune are you walking your life? Are you walking your life to the tune that is pleasing to others but contradicts the word of God? Are you walking to the tune of his voice? John 10:27. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. This is Jesus himself speaking. He says, my sheep listen to my voice and I know them. See, Christ is talking about a relationship here. A relationship that he has with you. And this relationship is speaking louder than any Bible that you can open up and witness to somebody. Because you're that reflection of his light in you through your action, through the way that you speak, through the way that you conduct yourself. Christ is saying, and I know them, and they follow me. See, the more you walk in his light, the more you know him. The more you know him, the more you recognize his voice. The more you recognize his voice, the easier it becomes to follow him. Because you can distinguish his voice in the middle of a storm. You can be in a loud environment where chaos is present. But if you know his voice and you are able to distinguish his voice because you know him, you would be able to walk out of the storm. See, a lot of times we pray that God will remove the storm. But a lot of time he doesn't. You still find yourself in the middle of the storm. But if you would follow his voice, you'll find the way out. You'll find the way out. The more you follow the light, the easier it will become. The more you will recognize his voice. The more you will know him. You will have a relationship with him. And that voice is from within. It's that still voice that is right here. That brings in that calm. That love, that joy, that peace. Trust that. Trust that voice. Jesus said in John 16, he says, when the Spirit of truth, that's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of truth comes. He will guide you. He will guide you into all truth. He will speak. He will speak not of his own, but will tell you of what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will give you the way out if you would listen to what he says. See, the Holy Spirit is this built-in navigation system, giving you turn by turn direction in your life. That's what you need. That's what I need. That's the promise that God has given to us believers, that we'll have this Holy Spirit that is in us, that he will not be speaking on his own, but he will speak the truth for because of what he's heard. And because of what he's heard is true and trustworthy, he will repeat it back to you. He will lead you. He will guide you into all truth. See, when you develop this relationship with the Holy Spirit, you will have this. Tune in to his voice. And a lot of times it's not just the physical ears, but right here in our hearts, we'll be able to hear him. In Isaiah 30:21, it says, your own ears will hear him. What a wonderful promise. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, "This is the way you should go." Isn't that amazing? You're going through life and you're wondering, "Oh man, should I do this? Should I take in this job? Should I move? Should I do this?" And I don't know, Lord, I don't know. But here he's saying, you will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way you should go." Whether you turn to the right or to the left, you will know. See, you and I, we no longer have to play this Russian roulette game in the dark anymore. We would know. Because we will hear the truth that comes from him. We would know what he's saying. And as we get ready to close and prepare our hearts for communion, I want to ask Lindsay and Jeremiah if you would go around and serve us. I want to circle back to Matthew chapter 5. Same place where we started this morning. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." So you and I, we don't need to go into hiding. We don't need to go into hiding because of guilt and shame. And I started with this word that I got last week. Because his light is not a microscope to magnify our sin. His light is a spotlight for his blood that cleanses us from all sin. And because of that, we can say, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, you are the light of the world because you have a covenant relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why you have this covenant relationship with him. And during the Last Supper, as we know it, Jesus is sitting there with his disciples and he's reminding them of that covenant relationship. He's reminding them that you are the light of the world because we are in a covenant relationship with one another. Would you please stand? So today, I want to remind you of that covenant relationship that you have with him. That's the reason why you can have this light of God shine within you. That's why you can be the light of the world. Jesus took some bread. He gave thanks for it. Then he broke it into pieces and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Would you take and eat? And after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." Would you take and drink? He said, "Do this often so that you may remember." Remember what I said in the beginning, like a lot of times God will call us, would speak. But then he would also say, write it down so that you can remember. So this is something that God wants us to always remember. Remember the sacrifice. Remember the covenant relationship. Because of that, we can be his light. Let's pray before we dismiss. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word and thank you for speaking and never ceasing to speak to us. Lord, we are open to what you want to do in us and through us. We are your vessel. Lord, fill us once again. Fill us continually, giving us hope, giving us future. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.